Okay, so we are on the top of Ayin Aleph. Amar Rav Kahana Amar Rav. So Amar Rav Kahana Amar Rav. Cheresh. Okay, so you have a Cheresh, right? So you have, right, what's the case of the Cheresh? Rashi says, Shehaya Pikeach Sheknasal V'Kedusha Kedusha Gemurim. So he was a Pikeach, he was a full-blown guy who could hear and speak when he got married. And then he became a Cheresh during the marriage. Utnam B'Yavamas, and we have a Mishnah in Yavamas, Rashi says, that Nisqareish, who, O Nishtata, if he became a Cheresh or became a Shota, Lo Yotzi Olamis, he cannot divorce her at all. Nefisha ain't Koach B'Gerushe Chereshus Lafkia Kedushe Chachma. Because there's no power in the Gerushim of a Cheresh to uproot the Kedushin of someone who was not a Cheresh at the time, someone who was full blown. Because Amarav, the Im Yachal, so Amar Khan Amarav, Cheresh Yachal, Dar Mitzoch Ksav. However, this Cheresh, right back in the Mara, who can speak via writing, kosvim v'noting get le'ishto. You can write and give a get to his wife. So typically a Cheresh cannot give a get. Here we have a case of a Cheresh who, obviously, the marriage is Kedusha Kedushin, because he was married when he was a Pikeach. If he can communicate via Ksav, you can still give the get. Right, look at the end of Rashi again, the last wide line. V'kam arav dim yachal adabim tocha Ksav. The odeya lichtov ala klath, because he knows how to write on a piece of paper. Mitoch kisu tnugel ishti atem ploni umasalahem pikeach gamaru. We see that he's a pikeach because he's able to communicate. Vikosim vinostin, and we can give the get on his behalf. Right. So Amar Kana Rav Cheresh Chalam Tachasav Vikosim Nostin Get Leishto. So Amar Rav Yosef Maika Mashmalan. So what is Rav coming to teach us? What's new here? Tanina. We already learned this in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says Nishtatek. If the guy became an Elim, he was unable to communicate. Va'amrulo, and they said to him, Nichtav get l'ishtecha, should we write a get to your wife? Right, the case must be assumed the case is going away, or some reason why he may want to have a give a get. V'hirkin berosho, and he nods his head. Bokin oso shlosha upon him, we check him three times. Im amar alav lav, if he answers correctly to the questions, alav lav v'alhein hein, hare elu yichtuv yitnu. So you can write the get and give the get on his behalf. So you see from the Mishnah, that you can divorce a woman based on just the hinting or the signals of the husband, even if he's an elaim.
Not as good as writing.
According to this, right? And from here, you see that you can. So Amar Rav Zera, wait, why are you comparing the two cases? One case is Elim, one case is Cheresh. Amar Rav Zera, Elim Kamarta? You're talking about an Elim? Saying something about an Elim? Shani Elim, and Elim is different. The Sanya, we have a following. Raisa. Medaber v'eino shomeya zehu Cheresh. So if he can speak, if he can speak but cannot hear, that's a Cheresh. Rashi immediately points out that that's not the Cheresh that we typically talk about. When we typically talk about a Cheresh in the Gemara's language of Cheresh is that he doesn't speak and does not hear. So here is right. Shomei v'zehu Cheresh, shomei v'eino daber, ze ilim v'zehu ilim v'zeh v'zeh harehein ke pichin l'chol devrehem. So you see here that these guys who have the possibility of communicating, they are pichin l'chol devrehem. Right? Rashi says, Rashi el kamata shani ilim. The cave on the Shomehu, the Elim, since he hears, Harehu could be Keach Lakol Dvarav. Aval Cheresh, but a real Cheresh, She'eno mit Shomeya, the Eno mit Daber, Elav the Yachel Adaber, Miktocha Ksav, Miramiza, Lo Mafki, Lo Mafik, the Elav the Shmini Rav, Lo Haviadana. We're just saying that he has to communicate because Miksav. Had it not been for Rav, we never would have known that, because we would have said that automatically he's defined as somebody who's unable to divorce his wife. Right? The Rashi continues, Cheresh Medaber, Eno Shomeya, Zeh Cheresh. That's not the Cheresh that we typically speak about, right? The Zehu Pikeach L'chol Dvarav. This is a Pikeach. Aval Cheresh Rav Kahana Lo Shemei V'lo Medaber. Rashi points out that they're using Cheresh in two different ways here. But the case of Rav is talking about a case where a Cheresh is deaf and dumb, and he cannot communicate. But Rav comes to Mechadish, and if he can communicate via writing, we're going to allow that. So then the Gemara just questions the Braisa, how do we know that? Someone who can speak but cannot hear is considered a cheresh, and shomei the eno daber is an elaim. If he can hear and cannot speak, that's an elaim. So Gemara says it's a pasuk. Pasuk says in Tehillim, how do we know that those are the terms are defined as such? I am like a cheresh, lo eshma, I cannot hear. Like an elaim, lo yiftach pi, I cannot speak. It's clear in the pasuk that that's what it means. The ibay is emor. You can say, you know that way. The amri inish that people say ishtakel milulei. So Yisachar Meuleh is like a Rosh HaTevos, or it's an acronym for Elaim. See the words Yisachar Meuleh, Elaim, Yisachar Meuleh. His words are quiet, his words are silent, and that's an Elaim. He cannot speak. Okay. So that's the question. So that was one question we had on Rav, right? Rav had said that a Chirish who can be medabim toch haksav can give a get. So first we answered, well, what's the Chirish? We said there is a Chirish because the Mishnah was talking about an Elaim, and you're talking about a Chirish. Amir Rabbi Zera says, Ikashali, if you're going to question what Rav said, right? That was, again, Rav said the Chirish yachodam toch haksav kosim venot negeli yishto. How kashali? This is what actually the question I should ask. The Tanya, we have the following brisa. This brisa is talking about the Indian of Shavuos HaEdus, which is if you swear you don't know testimony on somebody's behalf, and you end up do knowing, you have to bring a korban, right? The pasuk says, the nefesh kisech ta, v'shama kol Allah, v'hu eid, o ra'a, o yada, im lo yagid, if he doesn't give the testimony, v'nasa avono. Right? So he says to somebody, come and testify on my behalf, and they swear that they don't know any testimony. It turns out that they do know. They have to bring a korban asham because of the shur sheker. So, from the words im lo yagid, which the Gemara just quoted, it's mashma that he could have given testimony, but he didn't. Only if he could have, but he didn't. And we learn out pratli ilaim that comes to exclude an ilaim, someone who cannot speak, someone who's mute. She'enu yachol hagid, he cannot give testimony. The Gemara says, "What do you mean he can't give testimony? V'amai, according to you, ha yachol hagid mitoch haksav." Let him testimony, let him write it, let him sign an affidavit. Why not? You just said that writing is valid communication. If it's valid communication for giving a get, let it be valid communication for testimony, and write an affidavit. And Gemara says, well, wait a second, what are you talking about? Edus kamarta? Amalei Abaye, Edus kamarta? You're talking about Edus? You think that the Haggadah Edus is fine if you could just give it via an affidavit? It's the same thing as communication? Edus and communication are two totally different things. Shani Edus, the Rachmana Amar, Mipiyam, Velom Piksavam. Edus has to be oral. Can't be Piksavam. Yeah, you have the whole sugi about how Shtar works. Many Shitas have shown him how Shtar works. But bottom line is, once you answer the Shtar question, Edus has to be given oral. Can't be given via, can't have written testimony. So there's no comparison to getting, in order to write a get, you don't need oral testimony. What you need is evidence that this guy is of sound mind. If he communicates via writing, there's evidence that he's of sound mind. But by Edus, you need it to be oral. So there's no kasha. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to ask, right? The Gemara now asks on this logic that we just said, that Mipim lo biksavam, that you cannot, if the aid cannot communicate orally, then there's no valid testimony. So Gemara brings up Raisa, Mesvei. Kishem shebokim oso legitin, just like you check him. Him means somebody who is somebody who can't speak, right? You check him legitin to see, you know, check him with the kanata's head, check him by gittin. Kach bokin oso lemasa oso lematanos, for masa umatan you check him. Ule eduyos, for testimony you check him. Vili erusos, and for matters of inheritance you check him. So the Gemara says, katani mias, the Brisa says, I'll call upon him, the Brisa says, right, that you would check him if he would nod his head also for Edus. So therefore you see that Edus, it can be. Why else are you checking him? Therefore Edus can be given with this written testimony. So now what the Gemara is going to do is going to...
I don't understand the kasha.
We just said that testimony
he's
cannot...
Asking on Abaye? What is he asking?
He's asking on the concept that he says, we PM lomi piks of him, right? That it only can be written testimony. Yet here this Bryce is saying that we're checking. It can only be spoken testimony. Here the Bryce is saying that you check to see if he is of sound mind for Edus. Why else would we check for sound mind? You check to see if sound mind, then he can write it. You just said you can't have written. It has to be oral. So what the Bryce is going to do is reinterpret all these words in the Bryce, so it's not going to be Akasha. Meaning, testimony again has to be oral. Leave Star aside for now. It's a different sugya. Right? Tosos points out, it Tosos repeats a little bit of them. He says, "But perak shein deksuvos herachliba." Second perak deksuvos, I spoke about this at length. So check the notes on perak beis deksuvos and daf chav on the beis. That's where the sugya is. So this is right. So Amar Rav Yosef Bar Menume, what are we talking about the Aegis over here to check whether he has a sound mind by nodding his head, and therefore we would accept his written testimony? What's that Aegis? That's the Eidus Isha. That's talking about an Eidus Isha, whether a woman whose husband died, are we going to permit her to get married? The Ekilu Bel Rabbanon, because we already have, already Mekil in that scenario. Right? Rashi says, I have to find that Rashi, the Ekilu Ba, the Be'ed Echad, Karo, Veshivcha. We have all those kulas when it came to that testimony. We saw so that Gemara is in Yavamos. So therefore,
what? Hector Mei Rabbanon?
Doesn't say Hector Mei Rabbanon.
What Hector are they?
To matter her to get married if the husband dies.
Well, what Hector are they referring to?
To allow her to get married, even though there's only one aide, who testified that the husband died. Right? The Ekilu Ba. Right, Rashi says, "Be'edus isha lehasiyah, dekiluba be'ed echad karo v'shifcha." All these things that are typically possible edus, we allow to allow her to get married. So we allow another kula that we can allow it be an affidavit, as long as we have checked him that he's of sound mind.
He's really limiting that edus.
Very limited, just to that case. Correct. Right, and now we're going to limit yerushos. So hakatani yerushos. So you thought that yerushos. So what yerushos means? That what Rashi says, "Kasaka daitan al yerusha." Shehorish Adam Alma, to testify that so-and-so give, that's what we thought it meant, that so-and-so gave as Yerusha to so-and-so. But that's not what the case is going to be. We're going to limit it again. Amir Rabbi Abahu, what's the case of Yerushos? It's Yerushas Benoha Bechor. It's for his, it's the Yerusha of his firstborn son. What's the Yerusha of his firstborn son? So, Machlokas Rashi Tosos. Just look at the Tosos in the bottom. Yerushas Benoha Bechor, Perish Rashi, Shehishve b'chor l'pashat. And he takes a testimony and says that he himself says, I'm going to treat my b'chor like a regular son and not give him pishnayim. Tosis doesn't like it, and therefore he says, Elom ben Yitzchak tahanish omer al ben habanim shehu b'chor. He says he writes, that this son of mine is my eldest, is my b'chor, and therefore he gets pishnayim. The idea being, it's not regular testimony out in the world, it's just like Gilman Milson. He's saying, if they believe him, he's saying who his oldest son is. But it's not a testimony, therefore it can be written, can be via ksav, doesn't have to be oral. But then the Gemara asks again, Katani Mias, the Bryce still says, Lemasos Lematanos, Maso Matan, Mashma, that you check him to see whether he can testify on business matters. So my lavla alma must be. Aren't we talking about business matters in the general in the world that he's an aide and he can sign and testify about things that transpired in the business world? It says lo l'didei. We check to see whether or not he is of sound mind that he can conduct. He can transact business because you can't transact business with somebody who's not of sound mind. So this guy can't speak. He wants to sell his karka. Do we know that he's of sound mind if he can't speak? So we check to see if he's of sound mind, and then his sale would be valid. It's not that he's testifying about anybody else. He's proving that he himself is of sound mind, that he can transact in business, that he can be involved in commerce.
But wouldn't you do that anyway? You wouldn't check. You wouldn't. If someone comes in, he's a witness, he's deaf and dumb, and you're not going to check him?
That's the whole point.
He knows what he's talking about. I mean, I don't understand what the Gemara is trying to get at.
The Gemara said exactly that for Maso Sumatum, we have to check him, because he's an Elaim. Typically, the idea of an Elaim is that we don't know whether he can communicate or not. In the Gemara's time, the idea was that maybe he couldn't. Right, so you check.
So now if he wants to testify for somebody else, he's an Elaim, so he's not allowed to. And after you check him?
No, because it has to be Mipiyim, the one Mipiksavim, and he can't speak.
So for himself, you could.
He's not testifying for himself. There's a difference between Eidus and transactions. When I'm giving ages, I'm testifying that such and such transpired whenever. Transaction, say, I want to sell this.
Okay.
She's
confident to sell it. Okay.
So,
last example, let's say you're not sure if you benched or not.
Yeah.
Eilin tells you, no, you didn't bench, you have to bench. Well, that's ages?
No, I'm right. Just giving.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Mesve. So now the Gemara is going to ask again, asking on Rav. Rav said what? Again, what did Rav say? Rav said that Cheirish, who can be Medaber, Mitoch HaKsav, Yekosiv, and Nostan Gedli Ishto. So, Mesvei, for the following Braisa, Cheirish, here's a real Cheirish, somebody who cannot speak, he's deaf and dumb, cannot speak, cannot hear. Lo hochu bo acha rimizosav. We do not go after his rimizos. Right? Correct. Which is against what we just said, Rav. That's the kasha right away.
Right.
Lo hochu bo acha rimizosav, the acha kifitzosav, or his jumping, or moving his lips. Nothing, don't follow his gestures. The Achar Ksav Yado, we don't follow his Ksav Yado. We don't follow his signed affidavit. Ela b'metaltlin. Except we can do it by metaltlin. Avalo b'gittin. But for gittin, it's not sufficient. Meaning it's not enough for us to see that he can write, communicate via writing, by gittin. So you see, that's a kasha on Rav. Because Rav said the exact opposite. That you do check the writing to see if he's competent for gittin. So the Gemara answers, you know what? Tanaihi. It's a machlokas tanaim. And now we're going to take the sheet of Rav and we're going to put that on Rav Shimon Gamliel. And that, so what's that? And Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Rav Shimon Gamliel, now an explanation of this brisa, says, Bamedvarim Amurim, when do we say that we don't go after his remizos or his ksav yad by a cheirish? That's b'cheirish me'ikaro. That's the guy who was cheirish from birth. He was never a pikeach. Remember, our case was that it was a pikeach who became a cheirish. Right? So cheirish me'ikaro. Ava pikeach v'hit nischareish, but a pikeach that became a cheirish, who co-saved the hein chosman? He can write it. We could check to see that he can write, because maybe he had a sound line, knows what's going on beforehand. He just happened to never, he became a cheirish, the hein chosman. So we'd see that the din of Rav is machlokas between the Tana Kama, who says, no, you're wrong, and Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says, correct, I agree with that. I mean, Rav agrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara just says, okay, wait a second. Let's figure out the case of Rav Shimon Gamliel to begin with. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that a cheirish me'ikaro, the nodding, or the remizo, so the ksav yad, is not sufficient. But let's remember, if a cheirish me'ikaro, how is he married to begin with? He's only married to begin with, midrabanan, via remizos. So that's why maybe you can be, if you got in with remizos, you can get out with remizos. That's what Gemara says. Cheirish me'ikaro lo? You're telling me that a cheirish me'ikaro who's born, we do not go after his remizos, we do not go after ksav yado to effect a divorce? Why? Kishem shekontzib remiza, since he only married a remiza, he could say harei amukdesh li, we couldn't say anything. Right. It's only a remiza. I don't know why he can't do it. He maybe can do mikadosh mibia. He can mikadosh with a shtar. Then what remiza do you have to have there? If you mikadosh mibia, it's a full fledged action. So I don't know. But he says, what? Yeah, but it's not a remiza.
Doesn't he have to check?
Remiza
means. Ah,
able to tell you that I can understand what you're asking.
I got you. Okay. Right. Okay. Fine. So kishem shekontzib remiza. Kach motziya b'remiza. Just like he gets him, marries her to start with remiza, he divorces her with remiza. So why are you telling me the case of cheresh meikara? Not cheresh meikara is the case where you would typically rely on the remiza. So Gemara says you're right. Ibe ishto, if we're talking about gerushin from the cheresh's wife, ibe ishto, then hachanami, you'd be correct that a cheresh marries his wife in remiza. Divorces his wife from Misa. What are we talking over here? Hachiv Mayaskinan Miyavimto with his Yavamama. So this is his brother's wife who had valid kiddushin. He dies without children, and then this Yavama falls to this Cheresh Meikaro for Yivam. Or Chalitza. He can't do Chalitza because he can't speak, right. But he can do Yivam because Yivam is just a Stam Maisa. You just right. Do a Maisa of Yivam. So he can do Yivam. And now we're saying that this Cheresh Meikaro cannot divorce this wife via Remiza, because that wife came into him full-fledged via Yibum, but he can't divorce her because he only can do the Remiza doesn't work. Right, Rashi says...
Oh, just the Maisa by Yibum.
Yeah, that's all it is. Right, he says... So the Gemara says, Yavamto Miman. Let's see... Yeah. So Yavamto Miman. So who was the brother, the original husband? What was he like? So Ilam and Anafalimi Achiv Cheresh. Maybe his brother was a Cheresh also. So that original Kedushin was Durabanan. So the Yibum by him is a Durabanan. So they can divorce her, but they run away also with the Remiza. Ilam and Anafalimi Achiv Cheresh. Kishem Shekinisasa Remiza. Kach Yitziasa Remiza. Ella de Anafalimi Achiv Pikeach. Like we explained a moment ago. The original husband, the brother, was a pikeach. Therefore, the kiddushin or kiddushin gemurim falls to the brother who's a cheresh to do yibum or chalitza. Can't do chalitza because he can't speak. Does yibum, and now he cannot divorce her because he can't do remiz is not sufficient because the connection between the two is a connection with midoraisa. In that scenario, that's a tragic scenario. That's terrible.
That's a very, very limited.
Yes.
She has no way out.
That she has no way out, apparently. According to Gemara here, she's kind of stuck.
Why can't you use Ramazim for Chalitza?
Because you can't. You have to speak. There's a formula that has to be spoken. So you can't.
Although by Kedushin, we allowed to use Ramazim.
You're allowed to do Ramazim for Kedushin midirabanan. So if you have a Zika derabanan, then we'll let Remiza. But if you have a Zika for the Yavam, which is Doraisa, you can't do Remiza. It's very hard over here. He says, right. I don't know. Just well, we first of all, Bismazel, we say we don't say a cheresh doesn't have das. Remember that, Bismazel. We have, it's not the same thing. At that time, a cheresh had no ability to communicate. Right. Nowadays, we have you have other ways to make them communicate, so we know that they're not. We don't consider them cheresh.
All
right. The Eimah, or you can answer. What's the case? La'olam nafla le me'achav cheresh. Yeah, it did come from the original brother, the original husband was a cheresh, and therefore it's a zikah derabanan. So you would think that just like the cheresh brother got her married with Ramiza, so the yav cheresh yavam can divorce her with Ramiza. But no, the Gemara says ugzera achiv cheresh atu achiv pikeach. Make a gzera. I guess cheresh were more common at that time. They make a gzera that the cheresh, that the brother who's a cheresh cannot divorce the Ramiza, the wife from his original, from his dead cheresh brother, because if he's let do Ramiza, we're afraid. In a different case, if it falls from a pikeach brother, you would allow Ramiza also. In that case, you're not allowed, because in that case, it was, there's no zikos deraisa. So, okay. So Gemara says, ihachi, it's a very, 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 I mean, it's far-fetched, I agree. Right? Ihachi, or the second answer, we're asking the second question, ihachi, if it's a gzera, so ishtonami. So why do we let the pikeach, who was married by Ramiza, divorce his wife by Ramiza? Because now it looks like divorce can be done with Ramiza, but maybe he's going to become the yavam of his brother's wife when his brother was a pikeach. If you're going that far, go this far also. Go all the way. And don't allow Ramiza at all, because maybe people will say that you can divorce the yavam by Ramiza as well, but you can't. So the Gemara says, no, that's too far. Yivimto, yivimto michlefa. People might get confused and they'll compare one yavam to another yavam. But ishto, yivimto lo michlefa. But they're not going to confuse a case of divorcing his wife to a case of divorcing his yavama. I don't know. By the time you're divorcing the yavama, that's your wife. It's a full-fledged wife. So I think the question, if you're concerned, Yossi's going to agree with me on this, if you're concerned with such a far-fetched concern, bring it all the way across. But Gemara says no. Gemara disagrees.
Yeah, okay. Is she considered the imam of the whole marriage?
Right, that's right. I thought like at a certain point of time, the fact that you can divorce her, be a get, as opposed to chalitza, that means she's your wife all the way through. But Gemara says, no, I guess she has a shame yavama for longer, because people realize, you know, how it started. Right, how it started. Okay. So the Gemara says, wait a second.
Once you're married, you're married.
Right. Umigas rinan cheresh atu pikeach. Do we really make this gezerah? We're all concerned now about this gezerah. We said that the cheresh who's married to the yavama who fell from his cheresh brother cannot divorce the wife via Ramiza, because we're concerned that maybe when she falls from pikeach brother, we'll also let him divorce via Ramiza, and that's not allowed. So do we really make the gezerah? Umigas rinan cheresh atu pikeach. V'hatnan. So we have the following Mishnah in Yavamos, towards the end of Yavamos, and Daf Kuf Yud. So these are all going to be cases of a marriage midrabanan, because one or the other has a certain deficiency. So Shnei Achin, Cherishin, you have two Cherish brothers, right? Nisuin, they got married. How they get married? Only they get married, they get Ramiza, because it's right. Midrabanan. So Nisuin, L'shtei Achayos Pikchos, they marry two healthy sisters. Oh, Shtei Achayos Cherishos, so they marry two sisters who are chareshos. Oh, shtei achayos, or you have two sisters, achas pikeach, achas chareshos, or one sister's pikeachas and one's a chareshos, or the opposite cases, shtei achayos chareshos, the two sisters are chareshos, nisuos shnei achim pichin, married to two healthy brothers. Oh, shtei achim chareshin, or to two chareish brothers. Oh, shnei achim echa pikeach, echa chareish, one's a pikeach, one's a chareish. The Mishnah says, harei elu peturus min achalitza min ayibim. All these cases, they're peturus min achalitza min ayibim, because there's a brother, there's an ishas, right? There's a chos ishto. There's a chos ishto here. Right. Because the wife of the deceased is also the sister of your wife, which is a chos ishto. And that's asrlav min erva. Even though the marriage originally was only marriage to Rabbanan, it's not a real full-fledged erva, but we're not going to allow you to do it. Because at the Rabbanan, once we're working on the Rabbanan level, you take all those rules, and the rules are, the chos ishto de Rabbanan cannot do yibum to the chos ishto. You can't do that. All right? But the im hayu nachrios, let's say the sisters are nachrios, not that they're goyim, that they're not sisters, right? Im hayu nachrios, right? So then, yichnesu, then the yavam can be kones her, but the imratzulot zion the imratzulotzio nyotzio, and if they wanted to get rid of them, mean divorce them after they married them, they can be motzi them with a get. So what's the case over here? The case over here, though, is that you have a cheresh, right? One of the cases was there are two brothers who are cheresh, and the wives are piklos, right? And so one brother dies, the cheresh can then marry the deceased's wife, and then divorce her.
Right, because they're not related.
But he could divorce her. But we just said before that the cheresh cannot divorce her because we have the gezera cheresh onto pekeach. So, right, we see over here that the cheresh, who's mimiyavim, his brother's wife, who is also a cheresh, can divorce her. And the chum didn't make the gezera. According to what we said before, in this situation, you would not be able to divorce her.
Right.
So the Gemara says, you're right, Ella machvarta kidashina meikara. It makes sense to say what we said before, that the case is over here is where she fell to him. She fell to him from the brother who is a pikeach, and therefore he can't divorce her via the get because it's a full-fledged marriage.
His marriage
is full-fledged to start with, and he can't divorce her via remiza because that's a derabanan din, and he can't get rid of her that way. Okay.
So there's no way out.
Right. According to, it's still the same thing that we said a few moments ago. There's no way out.
She's forced to marry, but then he can divorce her in 5 minutes, too. Now he's
getting a divorce. That's what we said. Correct. Right? Okay. So now the Gemara is going back to what we brought before. Before, on Amud Aleph, we said that the Tana Kama held that there is, that against Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Tana Kama held that a cheresh who can yochel adabim toch haksav, Rav Shimon Gamliel said it is a good get, but the Tana Kama said it's not a good get. And it says, Chalukin alav chaverov arav Shimon Gamliel. That the chaverov, meaning the Tana Kama, argue on Shimon Gamliel and hold that even if he was a pikeach, and then a pikeach, and he was nitzcharesh, he cannot divorce even if he knows how to write in the ksav. The reason being to say this is because if you look at the lashon of Rav Shimon Gamliel is Bamed Dvarim Amurim. Bamed Dvarim Amurim oftentimes is explaining the previous shita.
Right.
But here we're saying no, that it is, he's arguing. It's a machlokas.
There's a contradiction here on this part here, because you said if he is a cheresh,
right?
If the yevama who fell for him is a cheresh brother,
right?
You talk about the case of both cheresh.
Both the brothers are cheresh.
Both cheresh.
Okay. Right.
And the yevama fell from him, then he's allowed to divorce according to this.
Right, so that's why we rejected the second answer of the Gemara.
No, the second answer is a pikeach and a cheresh.
No. The second answer is ibais ema leolam nafal lemi achiv cheresh, two cherashim. That's the ibais ema. It came from two cherashim. The answer that we go back to is that is your case. So it came from the brother who's a pikeach, and therefore the original marriage to the original brother is.
No, it says here. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. A man who has originally deaf and mute, lack authority only to divorce a yevama that fell from a competent brother. He's authorized, however, to divorce a yevama that fell from a brother who was deaf and mute.
I don't know where they get that from the Gemara.
Rav Shimon Gamliel said that.
No, he didn't. Rav Shimon Gamliel was talking about a different case. Rav Shimon Gamliel, the case that was brought to Rav Shimon Gamliel, I'm not going to fast solve to question the art school. I'm not sure where he may be going a little more deep than we're going. Right, Rav Shimon Gamliel's case is a cheresh, the lo halcha balachar. Rav Shimon Gamliel b'med dvar memurim b'cheresh meikaro. I wasn't talking about a yevama case over there. That case was cheresh, lo halcha balachar mizosa v'achar kfasav yado el b'matalchan. So he's saying that Rav Shimon Gamliel would say that you're allowed to do that even by a yevama case. So maybe that's Rav Shimon Gamliel's shita then. Rav Shimon Gamliel says we're talking about a case by Yevama, right? The case of Yevama. So he's saying Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that
you're only not allowed if it's a cheresh that Yevama who fell from a pikeach to a cheresh. But any other case, it's okay. It's from a cheresh to a cheresh. He said it's okay.
Right, but the Gemara, that second answer says it'll be achav cheresh zera achiv cheresh atu achav pikeach. Ihachi ishto nami. We said no. Omigazrin and Cheresh ought to be Keach. Do we really make that Gezer and Cheresh ought to be Keach? We said we don't make the Gezer and Cheresh ought to be Keach. Right? So we don't make the Gezer. Therefore, the Cheresh who falls from his Chayresh brother can do Birimiza, and therefore Machvarta Kedushin Mikara, that the case where we say that the question was, I'm not seeing it in the sign, I'm not understanding what he's saying.
So if it's too Chayresh,
right,
also in the family, he's allowed to divorce her.
Correct, that's Rishim Gamliel Shita.
Right.
Right, that's exactly what we said, that's Rishim Gamliel Shita. And that's why the answer to the question is not that. The answer to the question is talking about where he can't do Bermuda is where he felt him from the brother who was a Pekeah.
That he cannot.
That he, for someone says he cannot. Okay.
Do we know if this case ever occurred, or is this theoretical?
I have absolutely no idea. I don't know what. I'm sure there's a case somewhere in Poskim that talks about it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Chalukin alav chaver of Shum ben Gamliel. So Amar Abaye, af ananami tanina. I have a raya to Rabbi Yochanan. They say Rav Shimon Gamliel argues on the Chachamim. Again, this is a Chashcherish. Can he divorce his wife Mitocha Ksav? So, and he brings a Raya, because we have the case as follows. We have a woman who was a Pikachas, and then she's married to a Pikeach. And then afterwards, Nishtes, she becomes insane, I guess. Lo Yotzi, he cannot divorce her. Nitzcharesh Hu, Ol Nishtata, he becomes a Chayrish, or he becomes insane. Lo Yotzi Olamis. He can never divorce her. What's the difference between the first race and the Sefer? Why does one say Olamis and one not say Olamis? So my Olamis, the Gemara asks, what's Olamis? Lav Afal Gav, the Yochel Dar Mitoch Ksav. Olamis, talking about him, the husband. So Olamis, he can't do it. He can never do it. Even if he can speak Mitoch Ksav, we say no. So therefore you see that there are those who argue with Shimon Gamliel, which is against what Rav said originally also, that a Chayrish who can speak Midari Toch Ksav still cannot divorce his wife.
He's not a
Bardas. So Amar Rav Papa says, so what's the Chiddush? In other words, Abaye says, Rav Yochanan comes to Helong and tells me that Rav Shimon Gamliel argues on the Tanakhama. I know it's a Machlokes, because I have this other mission that shows that shows against Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, Elav de Ashmauni Rav Yochanan. Had it not been for Rav Yochanan coming to tell me explicitly that Rav Shimon argues on his Chachamim, Hava Amina, I would have thought that back in that Mishnah that we brought quoted Rav Shimon Gamliel, I would have thought, L'perusha taima de Tanakama hu da'asa. He's just coming to explain what the Tanakama was saying, meaning everyone would agree that a Chayrish HaMadarim Toch HaKsav can be Megarish, right? They would all agree to Rav Shimon, and how you read it over there? It would be Chayrish lo holcho achav rabosav achav isosav avalog legitin. You can't do for gittin. And Rav Shimon Gamliel comes and says, "Oh no, that's only by Chayrish mikoro. But if it's keirach and it's charish, you can't do it." And we would think that would be the explanation. So now, okay, if that would have been your havamina without Rav Yochanan, so what does the word alumis mean in this brisa? We translated alumis to mean, even if he's a Chayrish Mitochak, even if he's a Yochel Dabrik Mitochak Ksav. So now we have to reinterpret Olamis. So Olamis here means, Afal Gav, the Chazina Le de Charif. Even if we see that he's really, really a Pikeach, that he really knows what he's talking about, nevertheless, he can't be Garish via Remiza. Because there's a technical thing that you can't divorce via Remiza according to this Tanakhama. Inami, or you can answer, what does Olamis mean? Likid Rabbi Yitzchak. Like Rabbi Yitzchak said, the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah, Shota Misgareshes. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Midel Raisa, a woman who becomes insane, a Shota, you can't divorce her. Our Mishnah said you can't divorce her. But it didn't say Olamis, you can't divorce her. It just says we can't divorce her. So why can't you divorce, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, if it is allowed to divorce her, Midel Raisa? But what's the reason why you can't divorce her? Because Midel Havia Pikachas Bekarcha, right? Because you can divorce a woman who's a Pikachas, sound mind, you can divorce her Bal Karcha. Nowadays you can't, I know. But in times of the Gemara, you can divorce her Bal Karcha. So what's the difference if you can divorce a woman Bal Karcha or a Shota? It's also Bal Karcha. Obviously, you don't have to have acquiescence to the divorce. She doesn't have to agree to it. So who cares if she's a Pikachas or not a Pikachas? But Umata Amru Eina Mitzgareshes. Why do they then go ahead and say that a Shota cannot be divorced? Because Lo Yinhagubo Minan Hefker. Because then she's going to be out there, no one's going to be protecting her. She's going to be out there in the world, a little bit insane, and she's going to be a woman of ill repute because there's no one there to protect her. But, so that's why we say she can't be divorced. But when it says by him, it says lo yotzi olamis, that means olamis means on the oraisa level. That can never be. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, inami. It's the second Rashi before the Mishnah. It's right across from the Mishnah. It says inami. Right? Ha'olamis l'chad Rabbi Yitzchak asa. Comes to, in accordance to the sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak. L'meidak minei, to make a diyuk, to learn from it, midik tani seifa olamis. When the seifa says olamis, v'resha lo tani olamis. And the resha does not say olamis, mishum de resha de Rabbanon. The resha only means you can't divorce or meet the Rabbanon, ki de Rabbi Yitzchak. V'seifa de oraisa, de gabi megarish ba'in and daito. For to divorce, you need his das. Right? Sha'ish ein omotzi el ritzono. He has to do it for his own free will. He has to be willing to do so. So therefore it says olamis, that if he's a shote, or he is nischaresh, the divorce can never take place. In the ratio where it doesn't say olamis, that's when he's in the rabbanon, he's not supposed to divorce her, because we don't want her to be minog hefker. Okay. It's not easy gemara. It's not easy gemara. Okay. We should get a little harder now also. All right. So next mishnah. So amru lo, and Rashi says the case is, you said to a bari, or a shchiv meira chacham. So this is a guy who's got his faculties in order. So they said to him, "Nichtov get liishdicha." I guess should we write a get to your wife? It says over here, "Shelo tizakek liyavam," in order that his wife wouldn't fall to you. I guess they don't have any children. So if he's a bari, maybe he's a guy who's going on a trip. And if he's a shchiv meira, he's about to die, but he's a sound mind. And they say, "Do you want, in order to prevent your wife falling into the yavam, because maybe he's a cheresh or a young or whatever? It's the whole process." It says nichtov. Should we write a get to your wife? The amr lahen, and he says in that specifically, ksovo, write the get. Then what goes on? And they, amr la sofer v'kasov, they go to the sofer, and they tell the sofer to write. So again, right away you have the mili coming up. So yeah, just a little foreshadowing. So the amr la sofer v'kasov. And then they went ahead of the le'edim v'chasmu. And they went to tell the edim, and the edim signed. Afo pisha kasvuhu. Even though they wrote the get, v'chasmuhu, and the get was signed, v'nasnuhu lo, and they gave it to the husband, v'chazar v'nasnu lo, and then the husband took this get and gave it to the wife, hareya get batel, this get is no good.
Right, because he has to say it.
Because he never sent them to sign the get, he just told them to write the get. Right.
Yeah.
Okay? So, ad sheyomer, until the husband says, la sofrik sov, v'le'edim chasomo, the husband has to himself...
He has to
tell the sofer and tell the edim to write and sign. Meaning over here, the end of the mishnah seems to be that milei lo memser l'shtich. He has to be the one to say.
Even though the sira was legitimate,
he gave her nothing. He gave her get that wasn't written properly. It's giving her chaspa bialma, giving her a cup. It was nothing. It wasn't a valid get. The get wasn't written in accordance with his das and with his instructions.
For these nuances, he never made a shliach.
He made a shliach
to write. Yeah.
So the Gemara says, Taima, what's the reason why this get is batal? Because de lo amar tnu. He didn't say give the get to the wife. Right. He just said write the get for me. Yeah. But he didn't say tnu. Right, Rashi says, Taima de lo amar lam tnu. Below kasvu. Meaning, had he just said the word tnu without the word kisvu, de kevin de amar lam kisvu. Since he says the word kisvu, makbid haya bedavar. He was very, very careful in what he said. Shelo yomru la'achar v'yichtov. He said, "Don't." He's not telling anyone else to write. He says, "Ksvu means you write the get." Sheboshes hulo ligalos sheeno yodei l'tov get. I guess it's embarrassing to him to reveal to multiple people that he himself does not know how to write a get. I haven't read it. I don't know how to write a get. I don't know. I guess nowadays it's not embarrassing. I do not know how to write a get. Okay. At that time, I guess it was. Ubeha, and in this case, afilu Rav Meir, even Rav Meir who holds and mili memsor l'shliach. L'shliach mo de lekamam at Perakas Kabel shim amar kisvu get liishti afilo amar lebeizdin lo asum beizdin lehershos asachem akach. Here he agrees that these milim are not, because he's by specifically saying kisvu and not tnu, he's appointing them and them only to write the get.
They wrote it, it's
okay. So it seems to be, right? So taima de lo amar tnu ha amar tnu, had he said the word tnu, then no snim, there would be a good get, right? Rashi says ha arma tnu get liishti velo arma ksavu. He just said tnu, not ksavu. Omrim lacherim v'yichtavu v'yitnu dasam beizdin. Then they have permission to do everything, to write the get and give the get, because they be the beizdin. Akach shal shlosh, so there are three that they can appoint somebody else. Rashi says, but money. So according to this, if you say tnu and then it's a tnu allows them to appoint somebody else to do the writing. Who's that according to? Money. That's Rav Meir. The Amar Mili Memson L'Shliach. That's Rav Meir who says that instructions can be transferred over. Here, what's going on here? It's instructions. I tell you to give the get, which includes write the get, have the get signed, and they go ahead and they appoint somebody else. So they take his instructions and they instruct somebody else. Who says that that's valid? That's Rav Meir. Right. Okay, fine. But look at the Sefer. We pointed out in the Sefer.
Ksuvu is not good enough. Why would
good.
What ksuva?
He says just write it. It's not good.
See, because we speak siva explicitly means you write it, because he's embarrassed to tell somebody else. The lashon of tnu says get it done and give it to her. Go all the way. But who allows milim? That's our mayor. But what do we point out in the seifa? Look at the seifa. The seifa says ad she yomar l'sofer k'sov l'edim chasomo. He has to tell the sofer. He has to tell the edim. Right. Who's that according to? That's not Rav Meir. That's Rav Yossi. Ema sefer, atchiyom lesofer k'sov, l'edin chasomu, ason l'Rav Yossi, the amar mili lo memsum l'shliach. Why in the sefer does it say it has to be specifically him who instructs the sofer? It has to be him who instructs the edim. He can't have somebody else instruct him on his behalf. Because that the sefer is saying that mili are not memsum l'shliach. That's Rav Yossi. So what do you have now? You have Reisha Rav Meir. What? You have, well, not machlokes, but you have sort of a contradiction in the Mishnah itself, right? Reisha Rabbi Meir versus Sefer Rabbi Yossi. Comes to me now that the Reisha is reflective of the Shita of Meir, that Mile are Mem Shom L'Shliach, and the via Diuk, and the Sefer is reflects the Shita of wait, the Reisha of Meir, and the Sefer of Rabbi Yossi, that Mile, because in one Mishnah that Rabbi is going to do two contradictory Shitas in one Mishnah. Why would he do that?
It's not contradictory. You have to. But you pass by two different people.
But it's one Mishnah. It's one Mishnah giving one case. It's unusual for one Mishnah giving one case to have the first sentence of that case go according to one Shita and the second sentence of that case go according to another Shita. It's unusual. Usually you have consistency in the Mishnah. Unless you say, this guy says this and this guy says that. But in a Stam, in a Mishnah, to have it reflect two different Shitas, it's unusual. So that's what the Gemara is answering. The Gemara answers the first question, the Gemara answers like you, Yoni. The Gemara says, yeah, Eina Chanami, Reisha Rav Meir, Sefer Rav Yossi. That's what it is. The Gemara says, no, we don't like that. That's atypical. We don't like that, so we're going to try to make the Mishnah consistent into one Shita. So first the Gemara is going to try to make this Mishnah consistent with the Shita of Meir. Let's see how that works out. It's not easy. Abaye Amar, Kula Rabbi Meir Hi. The entire Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So if the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, the Kash is on the Sefer. Right. So why does the Sefer say he has to specifically appoint the Sofer to write? Why can't somebody, if he wants to appoint the Shliach can then transfer that instruction to somebody else. So Abaye Amar, Kula Rabbi Meir Hi. What's the case? The case where he didn't say tnu. You made a diak if he says tnu. The case is where he didn't say tnu. He only says ksovu. So if he only says ksovu, that's as if he specifically told these edim, you may not transfer the instructions. He only can transfer instructions if he said tnu. If he didn't say tnu, he can't transfer the instructions. That's why at the end, the sefer tells us that this get is not valid until he himself would have appointed the sofer or the edim, because he never appointed these edim to give the instructions to somebody else. Right? Rashi says, "Delo amar tenu." It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines, but they get wide. "Delo amar tenu below ksavo." He didn't say tenu without ksavo. "Vahachi ka'amar ha'omer ksavo eino kasher." The Mishnah is saying, if someone says ksavo, the get's not kasher. Unless he tells the sofer himself. So when he appointed these witnesses, these shlichim, to write the get, he appointed them and them only to write the get. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If that's the case, then it should. What's holding back this from being valid? What's holding back this from being valid is that he didn't say tenu. So the Mishnah the Mishnah should have said hare get batel atche yomer tenu. That should have been the issue. But the end of the Sefer says, Harei Zebat, it's not a get, until he tells the Sofer. He just could have said, nice and short, Ihachi, Achi Yomer Tanumi Boile. So reject that. So then we go, okay. So Elohachim, what?
Rejected.
Elohachim Abayaskinon, what's the case with over here? Dilo Amar Leblate Debate Plusa. The case of the Mishnah is where he didn't say to three people. Right? What does that mean? He didn't say to three people. Rashi says, again, two more lines further down in Rashi, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, like 5 lines from the bottom. V'hachlu ma'yaskinon delo amar l'shlosha u'bishnayim, if he only says the instructions to two people, mode Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir would agree that filo amar tnu, that even if he says tnu, kosun hein atzman, right? Delo asam beizdin. Rabbi Meir would say that you only can transfer the mili if you would say to three people, because that makes them a beizdin, it gives them the authority to transfer it to somebody else. So there the case is, he didn't say to three, therefore it cannot be not valid unless he himself said it to the sofer. The Gemara then says again, well, if that's a deficiency, then the Mishnah should say, to fix that deficiency, the Mishnah should say, Ihachi, Achi Yomar Shloshim Boile.
I don't understand why the Mishnah went. The Gemara went on to the second case. The Gemara already said that the deficiency and the Sefer has to match, and that so we said that Tanu is no good, but slow. It's just the same. It's the same kasha, the same answer. Okay, so the Gemara says we reject it. It can't be Rav Meir. So the our Mishnah does not reflect the shita of Mili Memsum L'Shliach. Now we're going to go to Rav Yossi. Elakula Rabbi Yosihi. The whole Mishnah is reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Yosihi, who says Mili Lo Memsum L'Shliach. So then the Seifa is fine. Now the problem is the Reisha, right? So Hacha B'Mayaskinon. The case is over here. Dilo Amar Imru. He didn't say the word Imru. Remember, we learned a few days ago that even it's a machlokas, but according to Shmuel, even if you say Mili Lo Memsum L'Shliach, if Omer Imru, if I tell the Shliach, you go and tell somebody, that empowers him to go tell them. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi acha yomer imru mibayoi." So that again, that should, so that's how we should say in the Mishnah. You say that it's not valid until he says imru. That should be the case. Okay, so I guess we'll stop here because now we're going to continue questioning Rav Yossi, similar to the Gemara that we had on Daf Pei Zayin. Well, how do we know that Rav Yossi agrees by omer imru? Right? Didn't we say if he says omer imru, we're going to end up with a takala? Okay, we'll pick up over there tomorrow. Have a good day.